views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get ready for a game changer. Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sarah will bring you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Now here's your host, Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall, and you're listening to Conscious Business Radio on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today, we have an explosive interview with Bradley Birkenfeld. He's an American banker. He's an American banker who blew the whistle on the corrupt offshore banking practice of the world's largest bank, UBS. His disclosures led to massive fraud and tax evasion investigations of U.S. taxpayers, UBS, and other banking giants. He has a new book out right now called Lucifer's Bankers. It was just released this week, which shows the incredible backroom deals and corrupt maneuvers taken by the Obama administration, the U.S. Justice Department, and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. It is a tell-all of how the administration covered up crucial information that could have led investigators to known terrorists, human traffickers, drug dealers, arms dealers, and other bad characters. A little background on Birkenfeld. He became the most significant whistleblower in history with his actions, which led to recovery of $15 billion for the United States taxpayers. And with that, he earned a $104 million whistleblower award. Of course, he wasn't really received too well by the Justice Department or the administration. They went after him viciously. But on the other hand, he had members of Congress, the SEC, and the IRS who were working with him. So he had there's two sides of the government, one that despised him and was trying to take him down with every effort they could, and the other side that was supporting him and was working with him and trying to get the information that he had. But even so, even though he brought so much good information to our government and they were able to bring back $15 billion of tax funds, he ended up serving time. And in fact, he was the only one that served time. Not a single criminal or bank executive involved in hiding funds were prosecuted. And the judge actually gave him 40 months in prison when the prosecutor only recommended 30 months. They were saying that he really shouldn't be given any time as a whistleblower. But this is an incredibly interesting interview, and it really does tell you what's going on at the highest levels of our government and that we need to change this. We need to, if there's a human trafficker that we can get our hands on, we go after them. And if we have information on known terrorists, why are you not getting that information? How can we claim that we're going after terrorists and terrorism is our biggest threat when we're not doing what's necessary when we have the information right in our hands? So he's going to explain all that, and it's pretty disturbing. And I guess his book has a lot more details in it, which will make a lot of people mad. So he will tell you about that. But the interesting thing is his investigation that he prompted also prompted the Panama Papers and many other things that happened afterwards. I have on my website a story about the Panama Papers that he comments on, and I also have a 60 Minutes interview that he did. But the other thing I have that I think is interesting, or that it, the other thing I have that has really good information is from the World Bank. It shows why there's 9 reasons why corruption is a destroyer of human prosperity. And they give 9 reasons how corruption destroys, I mean, it destroys the community, it destroys countries. And they explain why that is and the 9 ways that it does. And, you know, I wouldn't be, and Americans aren't surprised that a lot of this stuff is going on, which is actually a sad commentary, but they're not. A recent Gallup poll showed that 75% of Americans think that government corruption is a widespread issue. And they actually think it's a number one issue that we're facing today. So I think politicians need to start listening that people don't want corruption in our government and that we need to fix this. So let's listen to Bradley Birkenfeld and see what he did and learn about all the dealings that happened with his... So let's bring on Birkenfeld now and learn about his whistleblowing and what he did to bring back $15 billion to the United States.
Hi, Bradley. Welcome to the program.
Hi, good evening. Well, thank you for having me on your program.
Well, I really wanted you to come on because you are the highest paid whistleblower in U.S. history, which is a big deal. And you went after the biggest whales in the banking industry and the largest bank in the world, UBS. What was your life like before you became a whistleblower? What were you doing?
Well, before I became a whistleblower, once your audience, hopefully they'll be able to read my book because it's quite compelling, and it's an unprecedented story that will never be told again. As you say, whistleblowing and uncovering the largest and longest running tax fraud in history. I was a private banker in Switzerland. I had gone there to get my MBA when I was in my late 20s. And when I finished my international MBA in Switzerland, I had been hired by Credit Suisse, a very large bank in Switzerland, and I worked in their private banking division in Geneva, Switzerland. From there, I then was recruited over to Barclays Bank in Geneva with my former boss from Credit Suisse, and then I was headhunted to UBS as my last employment in Switzerland for the banks. And as a director at UBS, I was the head of business development for North America, which in essence is, in Switzerland, what people have to understand is Swiss bank secrecy allows people from any nation, as well as Swiss themselves, to put money in a Swiss bank account and never pay tax on it again. No income tax, no capital gains tax, no inheritance tax.
On the increases that you have, or just... what do you mean by they never pay taxes on? Because you don't have to pay taxes on money unless you make money from it or if you inherit it somehow.
Right, exactly. So if you put in, let's say, a Swiss person or even any other person from around the world opened a numbered account in Switzerland, they would never have to pay income tax on that money, whatever they generated. They'd never have to pay capital gains tax on any of that money, and they would never pay inheritance tax on that money. So it's a system that allows or incentivizes people to come to Switzerland to open secret numbered bank accounts, which have been going on for decades.
Well, wealthy people would put their money there when they die for sure, because then their children wouldn't have to pay that huge inheritance tax. Is it individuals, is it also corporations, so they don't have to pay their tax as well?
Well, the corporations are slightly different. Now, what we have in the United States, as an example, because I covered the U.S. market, what corporations do is they just take advantage of the tax code, which is poorly written, is definitely overdue to be reworked and condensed. It's extremely too long, not only on the corporate side, but the personal side, individual side. So the corporate side, they just take advantage of the tax code, which allows corporations to move monies outside the country. And as long as they don't come back to the U.S., they're not taxed.
Well, the problem is, because I just talked to Deborah Wint Smith, who is the CEO of the U.S. Global Competitiveness Council, and there are issues with corporations being, we're the highest tax rate in the world here in the United States. And so corporations, they get taxed in another country, and then they don't want to come back and get taxed again, that double tax problem. Plus, we have the highest tax rate, unless you're in one of the blessed industries, and then you can really take advantage of loopholes. But we do have some major issues with corporate tax anyways that needs to get fixed because corporations are incented to not bring it back.
Well, you're absolutely correct. The first problem that needs to be addressed, and it should be done quickly, but unfortunately the politicians in Washington would much rather bicker and argue than get things done, it seems. So the tax code should definitely be changed, and there is an incentive for these corporations to use these loopholes to move the monies outside the United States through low-tax jurisdictions, as well as the fact that they are extremely highly taxed in this country, which makes them non-competitive around the world. So nobody should be surprised why they're doing it. The tax code allows it. They're being overtaxed in this country, and they can't compete globally. Simple. So if people would change the tax code, give the corporations an amnesty like they did these individuals that I exposed, let them bring the monies back to America. The money leaves foreign banks, comes into U.S. banks, gets invested, gets taxed, and it's a win-win-win for everyone in America. But unfortunately, the political powers haven't done anything.
Well, we got to pull our heads out of our behinds and do some smart stuff. I mean, Trump saying we're not being very smart, he's absolutely right on that. And this is a perfect example where we're incenting corporations to not bring their money back to the United States and invest that money in our country. And we're talking on the amounts of like trillions of, you know, a couple trillion dollars. So that's just dumb.
But well, this is exactly right. He is correct in that regard. Now, he's not a politician per se. He's a businessman. So let's give him where his oats are due. And this gentleman has identified what's really important in this country. Rather than coming out and saying you've been a politician for 20 years or 30 years and not getting anything done, that's an embarrassment. That's not something to brag about. But if you come in as a business person and you know the laws and you take advantage of all the loopholes, that shows that you're a smart person. If you didn't do that, you'd be a dumb person. It's very simple.
Well, you can't compete. It's not even just smart or dumb. It's like I can't. People say you're unethical as a business person for doing that. It's like, well, I can't compete. I just can't. If we want jobs and we want this business to even survive, I have to do it because you created laws that made me do that.
Precisely. Not only did you create the laws, but then again, there is a disparity even on the individual basis in this country. For instance, I live in Florida. There's no state income tax here. In Minnesota, there's an income tax. Why? Well, go talk to the legislature. And that's a perfect example to show why people say, hey, wait a minute, why does Florida get away with this and Minnesota can't? Well, again, all these disparities, whether it's a cigarette tax, an income tax, a fuel tax, and people have to start to say, you know something, we're being overtaxed and our government's taking advantage of us and the money doesn't go to where it needs to go.
Well, yeah, it's just all ridiculous and people move their money around, but it needs to be fixed. But you blew the whistle on the fact that people are illegally doing this and taking advantage of our country. But what I want to ask you is how – I'm going to scratch that. So you found all these people that were doing – or you were involved with this, and so you knew that people were illegally doing this. And people got amnesty is what you just got done saying. How did everybody get amnesty, or were there certain individuals that got nailed for it, but people who were – in the administration, our friends of the administration were okay?
Well, see, this is the problem. When you looked at it, I gave them 19,000 accounts that were housed at UBS offshore in Switzerland and about $20 billion in assets, just the U.S. desks. So that is a remarkable number. So what happened was when they started to investigate what I had told them, they got Barack Obama, got Hillary Clinton involved to interfere in an international criminal investigation.
Yeah, so what did she do?
Well, she had secret meetings with the Swiss, and if you go onto my website, you'll see on my website there was a particular WikiLeaks cable that exposed her for her wrongdoing. What she in fact did is she started to have secret negotiations with the Swiss and make it a political solution, when in fact they were breaking securities and tax laws for decades.
So why did she want to, now why did she want to do that? She wanted to protect, because the 19,000 people on the list were people with a serious money. So she was protecting a lot of the leader, I mean, people in our country that have a lot of money. Now, didn't she just bring forward just a small fraction of the people?
Well, this is exactly right. She only got 25% of the names, 4,700. So why wouldn't you get all the names?
But what was the difference between the 4,700 and then the other part of the 19,000? I mean, why were these poor people separated out?
Well, ask Hillary Clinton. She's the one who went in there, and quite frankly, that's a 75% failure rate. You only got 4,700 names out of 19,000? And who picked the 4,700 names? What was the criteria? And do we really have a third-party accounting to prove they got those 4,700 names? We don't. So this is a real scandal, where 300 million Americans have been cheated by her actions. And Barack Obama, her boss, who also was in bed with UBS, he was playing golf with the chairman of UBS Americas, Robert Roof.
Well, you know what pisses me off? I'm going to use my profanity here. What makes me angry is that people get thrown in prison for tax evasion on simple amounts of money. There's a story where a woman lost her home over $6.50 worth of interest on a late tax payment. You know, people are getting nailed on taxes, yet we are allowing a whole group of citizens to get away with it. Now, if you think the law is not right, then change the law. But as a person who's in charge of prosecuting or making sure the law is followed, why are you nailing little people to the degree where you're destroying their lives while you're doing this?
Well, that's it. I know countless cases there in your neck of the woods in the Minnesota area and some of the Farm Belt where they've come in and seized people's property, seized their bank accounts, because they're easy pickings. They don't go after the big corporations who give them political fundraising and hire people and bring them into their law firms and the big banks. And this is what happens. So there is a great disparity in this country between the way in which they call it justice and going after the little guy vis-a-vis the big banks. Nothing happens to them. No one goes to jail. They write a big check, and they write it off on their taxes, by the way, and the taxpayer pays for that, and they move on. It sets a terrible precedent, and there's no deterrent, Sarah. So what's happened is the American people are getting screwed again. And this case, in which Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were personally involved in this, they did not look out for the justice of all Americans. They did it for a select few. And I could tell you, I know a lot of these people at the bank were giving money to the Democratic Party. I'm sure there were some for the Republican Party, too. But Hillary, in effect, protected these people by not getting all the names.
So when you came forward, the Justice Department did not support you. So
They were hostile towards me. They attacked the whistleblower because they didn't like whistleblowers.
Now, who was in charge of the Justice Department at that time?
At that time, it was, Gonzalez and McCaskey were there at the McCaskey, I believe, was the head of the DOJ in June of 2007. But what I felt was, and it was very hard to understand, was that I exposed the largest tax fraud and quit UBS and then tried to help UBS correct it, and they buried it. So I came to my own country, my own government, and said, look, here it is in black and white. I have the proof. And they, on the first day, they attacked me and said, you're not a whistleblower. You're just a tipster. That was Kevin Downing and these incompetent and corrupt civil servants over at the DOJ. They're absolutely useless.
Well, how did UBS betray you? Because you wanted to help UBS do this. So what specifically, I mean, that was their whole part of their business in Switzerland, right? So what, I don't understand really what happened there. You saw this, all the banks were participating in this, right?
Well, this is exactly right. And UBS was the biggest bank. And so this is the problem, Sarah. When you really think about what happened here, you don't understand that, wait a minute, if they were doing this and these other banks were doing it, why is America turning a blind eye? Why did it take a whistleblower to come out of the blue and expose the largest and longest running tax fraud in U.S. history? So you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. Obviously, the U.S. government is part of the problem because they did nothing about it. They didn't find the bank properly. They didn't get all 19,000 names. They let the kingpins of the bank just walk away. Everyone got a deferred prosecution agreement except the whistleblower.
Well, you know, I had Alan Walensky on the show, and he was the assistant secretary under Bush, and he brought this up, too. He said that Hillary Clinton only brought forward a small amount, 4,700 names out of the 19,000, and people aren't talking about that. That's really strange. No one's talking about that. It's a big deal. But what did they do to prosecute you? I mean, what did they do to persecute you?
Well, what they came up with was a sham prosecution. Number one, they took the information I gave them because the DOJ would not give me a subpoena. And in Switzerland, if you break bank secrecy, you go to jail in Switzerland. And that's where I lived at the time. So what I said was, I said, I need a subpoena.
Oh, hold on. So if you're in Switzerland and you break bank secrecy, no matter what, you go to jail? No matter what?
In Switzerland, absolutely.
That's their law, basically saying banks are completely immune from the justice system in Switzerland?
Correct.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, keep going.
So what happened was I knew that I was in a jeopardy situation. So what I said to the government, the DOJ, I said, before I even came in, I said, just give me a subpoena. They're like, no, we're not giving it to you. I said, well, you're not getting the names. So I went over to the Senate, and the Senate gave me the subpoena, which gave me protection, which said you have to testify. I gave the information to the U.S. Senate, to the Securities and Exchange Commission, to the Internal Revenue Service, and those people shared it with the DOJ, and they used that information to indict me and said I was withholding information, trumped up a bullshit charge of conspiracy to commit tax fraud.
Okay, so the Justice Department came forward and did that, but it sounds like the U.S. Senate, the SEC, and the IRS supported you.
Well, they did. The Senate liked me. They let me. I testified for hours upon hours in closed-door hearings. I gave them documents, explained the significance of the documents, the nexus between documents. And then what happened was the SEC was as gleefully accepting me in their offices and talked to me and welcomed me, and we went through it. The SEC wrote a very nice letter to me for my sentencing. The chairman of the Senate wrote a great letter for me. But, of course, the DOJ went forum shopping to pick some bullshit court in Fort Lauderdale, which I had nothing to do with some bullshit judge, which I had nothing to do with. And it was just remarkable. They hung me out to dry.
The Justice Department was very separate from the Senate, the SEC. So there are people in the IRS, the SEC, and the U.S. Senate that really get this and are really trying to make a difference, it sounds like. But the Justice Department was a different animal.
You have to understand the Justice Department abuses its power, just like the scenarios you were telling about in your neck of the woods where people have been destroyed, their lives ruined, they come in and just destroy them. The DOJ is a political arm of the government. It's not about justice. It's a business operation. It's the revolving door in Washington. These people are incompetent and corrupt, and what they do is they can never be sued. They've got immunity. So they just go with impunity and do whatever they want. They hide evidence. They accuse people of things that they haven't done. And I've talked to whistleblowers from the FBI, the CIA, the NSA. They said these people are absolutely evil.
Well, I've heard that you've heard this too. Whistleblowers are persecuted at the highest levels they've ever been persecuted in U.S. history. I mean, we're supposed to be trying to support whistleblowers, but right now we're persecuting them. I mean, they are just being attacked.
Well, Barack Obama has, with his fully transparent administration, which he lied to the American people, he said he would be transparent. He hasn't. His quote of hope and change has gone right down the toilet. That was a farce. And he has himself prosecuted more whistleblowers by himself than any other presidents combined.
Yeah, and journalists are getting nailed too. There's a lot of issues here. And this should really be a bipartisan issue, taking our country back, if you will. We don't want criminals running our country. If you are a patriot, if you love your country, you don't want criminals running your country. Period. End of story.
Well, this is exactly right, but the problem is it's out of control. So what happens is, in the case of the DOJ, in my case, most of these guys had rich friends who had accounts over in Switzerland. They didn't want them exposed. Politicians who had accounts. And then what had happened? The prosecutor then went over to a very large law firm. Kevin Downing left the DOJ and went to Miller and Chevalier, a big tax law firm in Washington. What a surprise. And he defends the people he should have prosecuted.
So nobody... Now, what role was he at the time?
He was in the tax division at the DOJ.
Okay.
And he was blithering all this kinds of nonsense when I said, look, you've got to go after these people. I exposed an account that was making illegal oil sales with Saddam Hussein. He had $400 million in Geneva, and he lived in a $50 million condo in New York City. And when I told him he had done all of these things, and I had the proof, I had the account numbers. It's in my book. You can see it. They said, we're not interested in non-Americans. I said, you're not interested in non-Americans. Why? The non-Americans are the ones who flew into the World Trade Center. And I told Steve Croft on 60 Minutes when he interviewed me, I said, they said they weren't interested, Steve. Kevin Downing of the DOJ said he wasn't interested in non-Americans. I said, why don't you go talk to the 3,000 family members who had their loved ones murdered on 9/11? Ask them if they're interested.
Because well, I know that said, Steve Croft just kind of lifted his arms up and said, I'm done with this. I can't get anywhere. Because he did a bunch of stuff on this and then said, nobody's paying attention and that nobody cares. And said, I guess I just got to move on.
Well, he didn't. I gave him these quotes about this. And I think that's where your audience is going to be outraged when they see the information I gave. I gave him information on Osama bin Laden's biological brother who had a multi-million-dollar account at UBS. And they said, we're not interested in him. He lived in Boston where the planes took off from. He had an offshore undeclared account at UBS. And now I'm not saying the family's bad. Every member is. But don't you think in the largest terrorist attack on this property, this land, you would start with the biological brother of the terrorist who orchestrated it?
Well, were there any Americans that you were able to identify that did some pretty crazy stuff that they did not prosecute?
Oh, absolutely. I gave them a whole host of names. Not one of the names I gave were prosecuted. Not one.
Give us an example.
Well, I think what we've got to do is I have to tread lightly here because we're going to be releasing some things through legal means to make sure that people don't try to attack me and sue me for slander.
Can you not give names but give us an idea of, because I don't want to get you into more trouble, but can you not give names but give us an idea of the kind of activity that they didn't prosecute?
Oh, absolutely. They did tax evasion. And I can tell
you, for example,
you had CEOs, billionaires, Hollywood movie stars, A-list Hollywood movie stars, all had money there.
And so they were using it, but then what were they doing? So they'd make money out of the country and then stash it there? Or were they making money in the country and then stashing it there? How does that work?
Well, let's pick the Hollywood A-list movie star. Let's say a movie star does a movie in Hungary, right, and gets $10 million to do a movie in Hungary, in Budapest, Hungary. Okay, because Budapest has very attractive things to shoot movies that are much cheaper than, say, in New York City, as an example. So they go overseas, and it's much cheaper to do, and it might be more interesting with the architecture and the landscape and so forth. So they make $10 million. What they do is they bring back $4 million to the United States and said, I made $4 million, and they show some bogus contract. No one questions it. And the $6 million goes from Hungary to Switzerland.
Okay, so the real illegal activity, too, is the falsifying documents because they created contracts that weren't real. So they falsified how much they made, and then they brought back only part of it. Because if they made it in another country and didn't bring it back into the country, I can see why people would do that. But then they falsified their contracts.
And they did not, and they did tax fraud. They did not pay income tax on the full amount of the $10 million.
Now, did Budapest charge them any taxes because they made money in that country?
Absolutely not. They're not a resident there.
Interesting. So,
yeah. So you could do a variety of things. Or let's say another client, her grandmother is, say, from Spain, and her grandmother passes away, and she owned a hotel there. Well, they sell the hotel, and again, the hotel sells for $15 million. They bring back $5 million, $10 goes to Switzerland.
And then what do they do with, they just spend it when they're in international travels? Because if they bring it back in, can they bring it back into this country in any kind of way and get around paying taxes?
No, you can only bring $10,000 at a time. That is the maximum. Above that, you have to inform customs that you're bringing more than $10,000 at a time.
So what's happening is so much money isn't coming back into this country for investment. I see that as the biggest, I mean, tax evasion is a major issue, but I see the fact that we're missing out on money coming into this country to be invested here. We're just...
Well, that's exactly right. That's another very big point. Now, we've touched upon tax evasion and falsifying documents and things like that. That doesn't sound that bad in the big picture. Then we go into the second tier of problems. The second tier are things that are nefarious, such as the drug trade, arms smuggling, terrorist financing, prostitution, the
now,
slave
is that,
trade, human trafficking.
So now, could they just obliterate a lot of those markets if they just went in and raided those tax and really dug into that, and they could really take over and you know, break up human trafficking and break up terrorist funding and break up all these things that are destroying people's lives and the mass corruption? Could they really make huge inroads in that if they would simply go after this information?
I mean, not only could they make a huge dent in it, but they had the golden opportunity through me to do it, and they failed. And they failed because some of their friends in high places are making big profits on selling arms. CIA is moving drug funds around the world.
See, now that's where the evil is. I'm sorry, but that's evil.
That's exactly right. And I knew people that were moving money and drugs, heroin, from the Golden Triangle, Cambodia, Laos, and Vietnam to New York back in the 70s and 80s for the CIA. Why? Why are we doing this? And then, of course, everyone says, well, you know, it's a secret organization and they have to do things. The CIA has blundered more operations than I care to list. From Marcos to Gaddafi to Saddam Hussein to Pinochet to Castro. I mean, it's a joke.
Well,
and there's
I understand the need to be able to do some pretty crafty things in order to be able to make progress. But when you turn it into this big open book and everybody is a big open account, you know, basically give them a blank check to do whatever they want, and now criminals just thrive in there, and nobody's really making sure they're doing good work, it turns into what we have now.
Well, this is the problem, Sarah, and I think your audience is smart enough to understand that the problem we have here is if there's no transparency and accountability and oversight, they run amok. These people will run wild. It's like leaving a child at home and their parents go away for a week. Are you kidding? This is what they do. Now, in Switzerland, because there was no accountability or transparency, how do you know where the money's going? You could walk into the bank and take out $400,000 in cash, no questions asked.
Well, I kind of like the idea of having freedom. I really do like the idea of not having Big Brother look over everything we do. But my problem is if you have terrorist accounts or if you have people who are doing human trafficking, you have that information and you can get into it. Why would you not get into it as the Justice Department? I mean, the CIA, I have no, why are you not doing your job with our tax money? Why are you not doing this? Why are you spouting that you're going to war to try to do all these great things and create democracy and protect human beings when you have access to human trafficking records and you do nothing with it?
Well,
that's
exactly
evil.
Right. UCP, exactly evil, and this is the problem. I understand covert operations. I get it. But the problem is these people have run amok. There's no oversight, and they feel as though they're immune, just like the DOJ. They can't be prosecuted. They have full immunity. So the problem we have is right there. No, we should not allow them to have full immunity. You get caught doing something, you're going to be prosecuted, and you're going to go to jail. But the very fact that a lot of these folks cover up for their rich and powerful friends in Washington, that's where the problem is.
Well, I have a problem with covering up criminals. Mass genocide and terrorists and human trafficking. That's where it's evil, and that's a problem. And if you can't go after those people, you don't belong in your position, period. End of story.
Here's the big problem for you and your audience, Sarah. This is what I tried to explain to the morons at the DOJ. I said, listen, this is not just about the U.S. UBS is the largest bank in the world doing this in every country. Every country. Germany, France, Italy, Spain, Japan, South Africa, Australia, Thailand.
But see, I don't understand. They manage the individual person in our country like we're all a bunch of criminals, and they have to watch every single dollar transaction under a couple thousand. I don't remember. They just changed the law, and they're nailing people for everything, but yet they're letting off, major drug dealers, human traffickers, and terrorists, internationally. And we claim to have this big war on terrorism, and yet they didn't go after this. Our biggest problem they can't claim, and the reason we're spending almost $1 trillion on military budget is to go after terrorists, and then when they have the opportunity, they don't.
Well, here's the problem. The problem comes down to the very fact that big business is in bed with big government. That's the problem.
Well, that'll always happen, right? You'll always have, but the problem is, people not caring if they're criminals or not doing what they say. It's the integrity issue. I honestly have no issue with a big business and big government working together to better our communities and our country, because you're always going to have people in power needing to work together. People have to work together to make things work. But it's when you accept criminal activity and things that don't better our world, that are destroying us and allowing that to thrive, that's just unacceptable.
Well, see, this is exactly right. And the problem is, again, they do not set a very good precedent, number one, because they just let these banks write checks and walk away. Then there's no deterrent, so they continue to do it time and time again, knowing they're not going to be prosecuted. And this is the sham of this so-called justice system in this country. And I think until they get serious about doing this, that's the problem you have. But remember, the people in the Justice Department, go watch and see where they go to work. They go to work for the big law firms that represent these banks, pharmaceutical companies, military contractors. Eric Holder, perfect example. Eric Holder works for Covington and Burling. Who was his biggest account there when he was there before he became an attorney general? UBS. What a surprise.
Okay, so what people who are active government officials that are powerful or that are really known were actively involved in this and covering up terrorism and human trafficking and other issues and didn't take advantage of it? Which officials? Do we know Clinton herself actively buried important documents like that and didn't go after? Did we know Obama himself didn't go after this?
Yes, and I can tell you why. If your audience goes onto my website, lucifersbanker.com, and in there, there's on the headers, go under the case. And under the case, you should click on the scandal. And when you click on that, you'll see a news article showing the actual secret confidential cable, CIA cable, that shows that Hillary was having secret meetings with the Swiss, sent two Chinese Guantanamo detainees to Switzerland, closed the company in Denmark that was operating in Iran in exchange to settle the UBS case.
Ah, interesting. Well, I just don't know how you can possibly bury... if she was going to choose certain people to go after and certain people not to go after, I have no idea why would you use this golden opportunity to go after the criminals that really we need to go after, which all her campaign rhetoric's about. I mean, why are you out there campaigning and having all this rhetoric if when you have this information, you're not using it to shut down these criminal activities? I mean, what's wrong with you?
Well, this is exactly right. As I gave an interview in London, and I was very candid about it, it's called, I phrased it political prostitution. What these people are doing is they're looking after their friends. They're looking after all of their political donors. They're taking care of big business, and they're lining their own pockets with all these favors. And this is a prime example of the largest crime in this country was committed with the case.
I know there's all these details in crime, and I kind of would, there's levels almost where I know the world operates where people do each other favors, and you know, you're always going to have the powerful working with the powerful to, you have to work cooperatively. And you're always going to have some back scratching and you do this for me, I'll do this. Okay, whatever. But it's when they're not working for the betterment of our country and for the betterment of the people and allowing this awful, awful behavior to go forward when they have it on a golden platter, that's where it's unacceptable.
Well, they're elected officials, Sarah. This is exactly right.
If and you again, can't do I it, mean, step aside. Be honest with yourself
you're
and
working
stop lying.
People, the people who are harvesting their farms, who are trying to do small businesses, who are trying to make ends meet. And in fact, you get these people who are so politically off the rails, they abuse their power, and they screw the American people. This is unacceptable. And I've said time and time again, the U.S. Senate should hold hearings because I've never been allowed to testify in an open courtroom.
Well, it sounds like the U.S. Senate and SEC and the IRS really do have some good people that want to do what's right, because otherwise you wouldn't have had the largest whistleblower payment in history if there weren't people there that were that are serious about really wanting to fix this. They love their country, too. They see it. They don't want this to be here. So it sounds like there's some good people there that are up against a wall in this horrible nightmare of, mess that they're trying to...
Look, you know something, Sarah, and again, for you and your audience, it's important to understand whistleblowers take extreme risks. They risk their livelihood, their reputation, their finances, their family, their friends. And what's happened is Senator Grassley from Iowa has championed whistleblowing laws for decades. You can go back and look at the laws he's passed and tried to protect people who are exposing the waste, fraud, and corruption in this country. And quite frankly, it's the most successful law, I repeat, the most successful law to bring monies back into the government than any other law ever passed.
Well, it sounds like he's doing some really good work, and there's a lot of people that are supportive of his work. It's just we have too many people that are allowing the other activity to go on. And those people needed to be weeded out and kicked out, period.
Well, this is exactly right. And people are getting fed up. And I think that's why this election that's coming up in about a week is, or 10 days, is that we are really up against the wall where, okay, I understand some people don't like either candidate for whatever reason. That's fine. But the point I'm trying to make here is I have proof positive of what Hillary Clinton did to screw the American people. That's unacceptable. I don't buy into it, and I'm never going to let it go. And I'm going to keep exposing it. That's why I wrote my book. That's why I have a website. And that's why I lecture around the world and help foreign governments. So this kind of nonsense doesn't continue. Because if you allow it to continue, it will grow.
Well, what was the outcome of all this? I mean, other than you being able to get out of jail now, write a book, were there any significant outcomes? Or are we still feeling it? Are we still feeling now the information's getting out? It's part of this election. People are realizing the corruption is so deep and so wide. I mean, is that the outcome of this? Is that now people are starting to fight back? Or were there any significant outcomes that happened for what you did? You know, where people...
Well, there were some significant outcomes, but unfortunately, the bank wasn't fined properly, so the American taxpayer got cheated there. The bank didn't have to give up all 19,000 names. The American taxpayer got cheated again. The high executives in the bank all were given non-prosecution agreements and released, so the American taxpayer got screwed again. And that's the problem. Yes, did they recover monies? Billions of dollars, thanks to me. Nobody in America has brought more money back to this country than Brad Birkenfeld. Nobody.
Well, that's really great. So now, haven't we just shifted? Now, can people still put their money in Switzerland and be immune? Is the same situation still occurring now? Has there any laws that have changed?
Well, there's been many tax treaties. I've assisted various foreign governments, helping them to recover funds back. There'll be some trials against UBS in Paris, I believe, where I'll be testifying in that case. I've helped the Greek government, the German government, the British government, the Canadian government, and several others. And I think what's happened here is Switzerland has now got to start playing by the rules that everyone else plays by. Now, I understand that they've had a good run with this, with the secrecy. And yes, I was a part of it. I worked there. There's no other way it would have been exposed without me being a whistleblower. But the point I'm making here is that now we've had a change of heart, and they've had to change some of their laws. Swiss bank secrecy, in my opinion, is over. Many people can no longer do this type of business. And I think it takes even more effort. The problem is, again, the Swiss government is in bed with the U.S. government. This is the biggest problem.
But hasn't this just moved to Belize and the Virgin Islands and other places around the world? So now, instead of doing it in Switzerland, you're doing it in Belize?
Well, what's happened is, well, not so much those areas, but the money's moved to, say, Dubai and Singapore and places like this. And what happens is people are smarter now. If you don't catch them, they realize how many steps behind they are, the government is, of these people who are more sophisticated. So they move it to a new jurisdiction. They move it to a new institution. They give the beneficial ownership to a different person who's non-American. Americans are now giving up their passports in historic numbers. Historic numbers, because they say, well, rather than pay the fine and the penalty of their account of, say, $10 or $50 million, they say, no, I'm just never going back to America, and they give back their citizenship.
Yeah, I can see all that going on. I'm just so disappointed that they had access and the ability to go after some major fish in the scum ponds of illegal activity, and they didn't use it. That's just so disappointing. So how can people get your book?
Well, it'll be coming out November 1st. We had a book launch party recently, but on my website, again, lucifersbanker.com, you can go on there and you can pre-order it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. There's several others all listed there. And you can order the book, and it'll be delivered probably the first couple of days of November before the election. I'd highly recommend people to listen to what I've said in the book and look at my website, because it's so powerful what I did and what I exposed, and yet no one in the media is really talking about it.
No, they aren't. This is new. A lot of this is new. I mean, I try to follow as much as I can, and it's overwhelming, but the specific things of this is new. Alan Winsky brought this up when I interviewed him about the 19,000 names and why weren't they released, but it's not something that's in the mainstream. just not. But either is WikiLeaks, really. I mean, a lot of this stuff coming out isn't in the mainstream.
Well, you're absolutely correct. But again, if your audience goes and watches, there's an article that was in the Washington Post today about the Bill Clinton charity and personal income. Literally, right after Hillary settled the UBS case, Bill Clinton got $2 million from UBS to give lectures.
Oh, interesting. That's a big deal.
That's a big deal. And then Hillary, in 2013, think about it. In 2009, she got them off the hook. They didn't have to pay that much money in a fine. That screwed the Americans. They didn't have to give up all the names. That screwed the Americans. So she was in bed with the Swiss. And she was not upholding her oath to the U.S. Constitution. She is absolutely criminal in this regard. But what happened was, in 2013, and people can go read the article, she got paid $225,000 to give a speech for UBS.
Yeah, gosh, that's just so crazy.
Well, underhanded and criminal is what it is.
Well, it makes me angry because... I understand people wanting to make money, but it makes me angry that they can be bought out like that. But the biggest issue is allowing these people that are destroying people's lives to get away and to claim that you're going after terrorism, and then when you have the ability to not do it. That's just, I don't know why we would have anybody in office. I don't know why. This is worse than when Nixon was kicked out of office. This stuff is so much worse. And I don't know why people can't see that.
Oh, this is absolutely much worse because it's ingrained corruption. throughout the Clintons' candidacy, and their whole legacy is tainted with all of these acts. Just have your people go read the Washington Post article that says, "Inside Bill Clinton, Inc., hacked memo reveals intersection of charity and personal income." Today, it's online. You can read it. It's unbelievable.
Send me that link and I'll put it on. I can find it, I'm sure. But just send me that link and I'll put it on this radio page.
I'll send it over to you right now. And I think what you'll see is you'll be astonished, astonished in the way in which people take advantage of the system. And we've really been, all of your audience who's listening, saying, "Hey, wait a minute, I work hard, I pay my taxes, why do all these bigwigs and political insiders get away with it?"
Exactly. Well, I mean, they have since the 2008, well, they have since before that, but 2008 really started exposing it, and nobody went down. It's been a one criminal activity after another that's exposed, that's not being prosecuted. Well, I appreciate this so much. Is your book going to be available all over the place, Amazon and everywhere else?
Barnes & Noble? It's up there on my website. People can go see it again, lucifersbanker.com. There's plenty of places that you can buy it, pre-order in it.
Where all great books can be found, or whatever that phrase is.
Exactly. And I just hope that the American people can have a voice and say, "We're tired of this. We do not want to be cheated anymore." And this is, Sarah, this is what we know about. And they tried everything to stop me from coming forward, but I was persistent and resourceful, and I was determined to make sure I did this, and the American people benefited. But unfortunately, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and I'm a Democrat, these guys cheated the American people.
Well, I don't think it's really the Democrat-Republican philosophies. I think it's, we got a bunch of corrupt people in office, and they're not doing what they say they're going to do, which is very different. We're just so disconnected right now. And nobody wants criminals to run their country. Nobody, even the mob is starting to care and want to take these guys down. That's sad.
Right. And you know, it's really sad that when this country loses its focus and people, hardworking people across the country, are just suffering, and the politicians keep blithering the same BS. It's not working. It's time to change.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. And like I said, I'll have your information up on my webpage, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Well, Sarah, thank you. And to your audience, God bless, and I hope everyone does well. Thank you so much.
I want to remind you that you can go to my website. You can get contact information for Bradley Birkenfeld and find out how to get hold of his book. Or you can also look at all the different sources of information that I have. I also have the top 10 ways that the World Bank says that corruption hurts countries and communities. That's a really good read. And I also have all of my shows there as well, with articles that I write on every show and on all these different topics, with sources and data and a lot of facts. So you can go there anytime you want and listen to the podcast, or I have my podcast is available on over 100 different digital channels, as well as it streams live on air on WBLQ 1230 AM, 3 p.m. Eastern Time every Monday, and on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll find it 7 days a week there as well. So I'm available all over the place. So for now, I hope everyone has a great day.
You've been listening to Business Game Changers with host Sarah Westall. Tune in each Monday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, as Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in Mondays at 12 noon Pacific Time. And learn more about Sarah at sarahwestall.com today.